Have you ever lost an important document on your computer? Have you ever experienced a computer crash? If you have, then you know how frustrating it can be when you lose those important files. Visit mozi.com/Amber, use promo code Amber, and you'll save 15% off on your file protection.
It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May's show is here with topics you like. Out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Welcome back to the Amber May Show. I'm so happy you joined me. And we have a great guest, none other than Cynthia Hyatt. She is a psychotherapist, but she's also a minister. And that's why I wanted to have her come onto the program today so she could talk about both sides, the spiritual side, but the psychological side. And the topic today is divorce. How would you gain trust again if there was infidelity?
And so we're made in His image. Our hearts are amazingly resilient, you know? And they are amazingly able to forgive once we sense that the person is genuine. And so when you're dealing with an infidelity, what I always tell couples is, you know, time always tells. And if that person has truly grasped what they have done and how it happened and the effect it's had, and the other person is taking responsibility for their part, then people can heal very quickly, because all of a sudden they're this new person that everyone is like, oh my gosh, that's who I loved. You're amazing. So if you can't forgive and move past this, now that doesn't mean a chronic offender.
Right.
Okay. A chronic offender, that's a different process. But once people kind of like get themselves grounded and say, you know, we're married. We got married for a reason. These relationships that are outside of marriage are 100% illusion, okay? That is not how real relationships happen, because real relationships don't happen with infidelity. Okay? That's not substantive relationships, mm-hmm. No matter how real it feels. It's based on everything that everybody is needing, and so they're doing whatever it is that that person is needing. It's not necessarily who they really are.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard to believe that because it feels so substantive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we have the difference between what is real and what is true. And so it can feel really, really real. But is infidelity true love?
No.
No. And so it can be loving, but it doesn't mean it's really true love, because true love is all based on sacrifice. And so if I really loved somebody and they wanted to have an affair with me, I would say to them, as much as I love you and
exactly.
I'm tempted, there's not a chance I'm doing that. I love you too much.
Yep.
I can't do that with you.
Mm-hmm.
I love myself. I love you. I can't. Call me when you're divorced.
That's right. Because if I love someone and I wasn't married right now,
mm-hmm.
and he had a wife and mm-hmm. children, I can't imagine being okay with hurting that family.
I know.
You deal with your family first, you know?
But see, that what you want to think about is that's always easy for us to say
until
we get compromised.
Until we get into that.
But see, even when we get really compromised, we still can get a hold of our adult self.
That's right.
And not the immediate need for gratification self, which is more our childlike part.
And we're talking about temptation here,
yes,
too, because God said there's no temptation that's overcoming that's coming
mm-hmm.
to man.
Mm-hmm.
But with every temptation, there's a way mm-hmm. of escape. So if we're dealing with temptation here and we're a believer in Christ, then we can overcome that temptation. It might not be easy, but...
Well, but see, the thing is, we have to remember that what I try to tell people when they're in the midst of that kind of a crisis, like, oh my gosh, I'm being tempted and I really want to go for this. Then one of the things I talk to them about is, then let's not talk about the temptation and trying to resist the temptation. Let's talk about pain management. What is so painful for you right now that feels tempting?
Oh, that's good.
Because it's about pain management. Something is too painful. So my life isn't working. I don't feel loved by my spouse. I feel like it's hopeless. That's going to feel unmanageable. And so it's going to be very difficult to resist love when I'm having that kind of pain. I mean, let's be realistic. We are humans. So it's easier to try to think about, what do I need to do to get some of those needs met so that I'm not putting myself in such a place that I'm now compromising myself that I create more needs? Because as soon as we start sinning, we add to the void.
That's
we
right.
add to the neediness. We add to the deprivation, the feelings of, now I'm really feeling deprived because I'm stealing from myself. And so it becomes very powerful. So when we're talking about the divorce as a whole, and for many reasons why people divorce, One of the things that I do with couples that helps is I try to make things more like an analogy or a metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm assessing where a marriage is at, I will many times say to them, well, let's look at it from a financial perspective. Let's use that analogy. Let's say that we're both banks, okay? And we're customers of each other's banks. So the couple that has, you know, I have some couples right now in my caseload that have some pretty serious infidelity. And so one of the couples I said to them, and this is not current, but I had a couple of years ago that ended up working out.
Good.
But yeah, it was awesome. It was a miracle. But I said to them, this is how I see this. We're not in like a low deficient bank account. We're not even in overdraft. We are in bankruptcy.
Oh, wow.
So when we declare bankruptcy, we're writing the whole thing off. We're not going back, and we're not trying to figure out, well, what, who owes what, and how can we fix this, and I'll forgive this and forgive that. We're way past that. So what we're now trying to decide is, if we're declaring bankruptcy and we're charging everything off, and we know all the stuff we're charging off because we're not going to try to revisit it. I can't collect on that debt. It's too great. This person can't fix that. They don't even have the funds. They don't have any emotional, they don't have the time. They can't undo the past. They can't fix that debt. And so when we're at that state, then we're saying we're determining whether or not we want to bank with each other again. So when you declare bankruptcy with the banker, right?
Mm-hmm.
Many times they will say to you, we'll charge off all your debt, but you're not banking with us ever again.
Mm-hmm.
And that may need to happen. That happened in the divorce that I had. I said, no more banking here. That's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I can forgive, but there's not going to be reconciliation. And there's several reasons for that. That's unusual. Okay, generally we can forgive and do reconciliation.
That's good. That's good to know.
Because what we're wanting to do is the person that wants to bank with a bank that has charged off their debt, the banker will start by saying to them, you know what, we will let you open a savings account with us and we'll see how you manage the savings account. We might add a checking account later and see, make sure you never go into overdraft. We may even give you a secured credit card of $250. Right? But don't think you're walking back in this bank because you're sorry and we charged off all your debts and you're going to start with a $15,000 limit, you know, overdraft on your checking account. No. We're not doing that. So we're reestablishing trust. So we can forgive the debt, but now we have to build back trust. And so there maybe are some couples that are in overdraft, and that's costly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a whole different kind of work. That's really taking responsibility for every single thing they did. And what can I do about that event to correct that? What do I need to do to get out of overdraft? And one of the things that we always know is when you're in overdraft, you stop deducting out of that account.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yep.
If you don't, you will never get out of overdraft.
That's
and
right.
You'll go into bankruptcy.
That's right.
So you stop expecting anything from that other person when you're in overdraft. You're on your own, funding your own account all the time. And so it helps because then eventually I start to get out of overdraft. And things start lightening up a little bit, start creating a little bit more trust. There's some healing. And every time I don't require something from that person, I'm actually depositing into their account.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because think of how you would feel if you and your husband got in a really, really bad argument, okay? And you were hurting still. Even if he asked for forgiveness, you're like, okay, I forgive you. But you can't recover that quickly because it was really painful. Well, imagine how healing and how quickly and what a great deposit is if he says, honey, you take your time. However long it takes. Because that was a big one. And that really pushed you over the edge. And I really lost the program. So I'm really good. I'm fine. I'm okay. I'm happy. I'm taking care of myself. I'm good. So whatever you need to do, whatever time you need to take, you got. And I won't be mad at you. I won't be disappointed. I'm not going to pout. I'm not going to sulk. And you're like, oh, really? Well, that was like a big check I just got in that emotional bank account.
That's true.
And so it does tremendous things for people. And it helps because what it does is also is a more adult behavior.
How do you... If you've done the divorce thing already or mm-hmm. going through the divorce thing, because you've determined that your marriage isn't reconcilable. Mm-hmm. How do you begin healing your heart from the pain of that death, that loss?
Yes. Well, and that would be when we talk about having to go through the grief and loss process. And there's five stages of that process. Because anytime we have a loss, we have to go through these stages. And the first stage of the grief and loss process is shock. So after I'm over the shock of, this is over, this is over. Like, wow, I'm going to not be a married person. I am not going to reconcile with this person. I am probably not going to ever see them again. Or want to, or be willing to. Wow, now I'm maybe going into a little bit of denial. Well, maybe you don't need to have to go that far. You know, it couldn't be that bad. I couldn't really be a completely divorced person. There's got to be some other way. And then generally circumstances will help me realize, nah, that's denial. But after I go through shock and denial, because shock is, I can't even take it in. It's just not even, I'm thinking about other things. I'm not even thinking about that because I can't even take it in. It's similar to if you unexpectedly found out that somebody that you loved had died.
Right.
You're like, no, 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 no.
I just saw them yesterday. Exactly. I just spoke on the phone yesterday. Yeah.
And then you go into denial. No, they have to have it wrong. Let's go and check it out. We got to make sure. This is why we ask people to come identify bodies. That's kind of stuff. That's why we have funerals.
That's right.
Because that helps people with denial. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, what happens is part of that healing process. And if you've ever lost somebody that you love, you could know even a year or two or 5 years later if you haven't really resolved it. Your brain keeps helping you, and it keeps looking for that person. You go, I think I just saw that was my dad. And you're like, it can't be my dad. My father has passed away. That can't be my dad that I just saw on the other side of the street. Mm-hmm. That's not, but that's our brain. Our brain is trying to process through this major loss that it can't do all in one shot. So the grief and loss process helps us break up a big loss into chunks that we can manage. So we go from shock denial down to bargaining. And bargaining is every creative, intelligent American's favorite place to be, okay? That's the coulda, shoulda, woulda, if only then. So we go through all the ways. It doesn't really have to be that way. It really could be like this. Well, what if we tried this? Well, we didn't really try that. Oh my, any way to not have the loss. So if I'm divorcing or somebody's divorcing me and I'm stuck in bargaining, I'm gonna be doing things like, let's try one more therapist. I got one more book to read. Let's go to this marriage. Let's go see the pastor. They're gonna pray for us. There's a new way to pray. I know that we can heal this, right? Mm-hmm. And we're gonna go around and around and around because we just don't want to accept this is over. So then if we're out of bargaining, because that gets kind of tiring and people get tired of hearing us, mm-hmm. right? Then we get angry, really angry. And we're like, this isn't right. This isn't fair. This doesn't have to be this way. We are good Christian people. You're just not willing to heal from this. You don't need to divorce me, right? We get angry, angry about everything because we don't want to accept this loss. Then angry, that state, that's pretty tiring. That's kind of exhausting because mm-hmm. anger is a very energizing emotion.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Well, then we go into sadness and mourning. And here's where we just are devastated. So we can't think, we can't eat, we can't sleep. Everything makes us cry. Please don't turn on the radio. I can't watch television. Everything about that, whatever I'm seeing reminds me of this person. And I'm just grief-stricken, you know? And I can't even probably be animated, ever think that anything will ever be happy ever again. Well, sometimes what we see is that men do the anger part better. They don't like to be sad. And women do sadness better. They don't like to be mad. Mm-hmm. You know, and not all the time. These are generalities. Mm-hmm. But we have to do both, okay? We can't just do one or the other.
Well, remember, instead of thinking about number one, just yourself, think about number two, somebody else, because eventually number two will look out for you.